He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Amen, because he cares about you. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that person is having a problem in your right side, just receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Just receive your healing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your hands and receive your healing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, it's more than one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You receive that. It's yours. Hallelujah. It's yours. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, like I said earlier, today is Father's Day. And again, I thank God for all the dads that are here, and praise God. Thank God for dads. And I want to say to all you moms, you wives, let dad be dad. Because I know what some of you are thinking, well, he wouldn't be him without a woman. Well, we understand that. Amen. You wouldn't be here either without a man. So all of us are important. Amen. And I thank God for mothers, and mothers get their due. But sometimes us dads, well, you know, we're not talked about as much. But, you know, I mean, personally, I'm okay with that. I don't have an issue with it, but I am proud to be a dad. Amen. So let's give all the dads a hand, will you? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I want to talk to you this morning. I've been on a series, but I'm going to change for today. And I want to talk to you today about fatherhood. Fatherhood. Amen. I do want to say this to whom it applies. You know, Dad, it's time for you to come out of the shadows, step forward, and be a dad. Stop making excuses. Step up to the plate. Step up to the plate and get ready to hit the ball out of the park. And that's what, listen to me, that's what we need. We need dads to step forward. Step up. One thing about some dads, not thank God not all, but let me say this, and we're going to get into my message. We know that there are exceptions to every rule, right? There are exceptions. But in many cases, if not most cases, women are more energetic than men. What do y'all think about that? Anybody agree with me on that? Certainly in my case, my wife's got 10 times more energy than I got. And I'm not complaining about that. That helps me out a lot. You just don't know. But if we're not careful, though, we can use that as an excuse not to step up to the plate, not step forward and do anything. Not step forward and be a man, not stepping forward and being a good dad. Your kids need you in their life just like they need mom. Mom's not supposed to do it all. Kids need to know they got a daddy that loves them and values them. Amen. And I understand the bond between a mother and her child, because she's actually the one, in most cases, that give birth to the child. She carried the child 9 months, ever how many months. Some children are born early, but nevertheless, the mother carries the child, and of course that creates a bond, a special bond between that mom and that child, which means that dad needs to step forward all the more to let that child know that I'm here and I love you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I want to encourage dads to step forward. Get involved in your child's life. Get involved in your family's life. Across this nation, and probably the world, but across this nation, there are many moms that are in church with their children, and dad is at home or doing something else, maybe playing golf or doing something else. Dad needs to step up and be dad. Can I get another amen on that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to talk to you about fatherhood, and I want to begin with our Heavenly Father. He is the ultimate example of what a father is and what a father should be. Amen. But before we go any further, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone that's here, everyone that's watching or listening. We thank you for them. I pray, Father, that their ears and hearts will be open to receive the word of God here today. I pray that all the dads that are watching will make a commitment that I'm going to be a better dad. Amen. I'm going to be a better husband, better father, with God's help and with God's leadership. So, Father, we thank you for this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's start at the beginning. in the Word of God, which is the book of Genesis, the very first chapter. Genesis, the very first chapter. Hallelujah. Like I said earlier, God is the perfect example of a father. Do you know that God didn't have to create us? He didn't, but he chose to do so because he loves us. You know why you were created? Yes, we were created to serve him. We were created to bring glory and honor to his name. But don't you think about something? God created you and God created me because he wanted someone to bless. You hear me? Yes, he did. He wanted someone to bless. Amen. And like I just heard it said, someone to be in fellowship with. That's the heart of God. He is God, and there is no other God but him. So he, listen to me, he is in the position to bless. He's in the position to give. But he wanted you and he wanted me in his life. See, that's the reason you know you're important. It's not so much what man think about you, it's what God thinks about you. So we see in verse 26 of the very first chapter of Genesis, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Notice how he wanted us created, in his image. You see that? Let us make man in our image. How? According to our likeness. You see that? Let them have dominion. You see how we are in his likeness? He said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And then the very next thing he said was, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God. Say, I'm created in the image of God.
I'm created in the image of God.
Hallelujah. In the image of God, he created him. And notice it says he created who? Him. You still with me? He created him. Everybody say him.
Him.
But look at what else he said about him. He created him male and what? Female. He created them. Hallelujah. Now, ladies, you have to understand, the Bible speaks a whole lot in the masculine. And sometimes it is specific. It's talking about the male species, a man. But most of the time it's talking about mankind. Him, male and female. So God wanted somebody to, he wanted someone to be a father to. But guess what? If you're going to be a father, your children got to be in your image. Over the years, we don't have any now, but over the years, Kathy and I have had pets. We've had cats. We've had dogs. Okay? Over the years. Some of you have pets right now. If you have a pet or pets, raise your hand. Let me see the pet owners in here. Okay, there's a lot of you. Now, can I ask you a question? How many of you have dogs? Let me see your hand. If you have a dog or dogs, okay, you can take your hand down. Now, I got a question. Do any of your dogs look like you? I don't see any hands. And even if you raised your hand, I wouldn't believe you. Why? Because that dog or that cat or whatever pet you may have is not created in your image. It's not created in your likeness. As a matter of fact, God gave you authority to have dominion over your pet. They don't look like you. They wasn't created like you. I know you may play with them and say, come to mommy, come to daddy, or however, but they're not your mommy. You not their mommy, and you not their daddy. But now my wife and I, we have four children. They look like us. Because they're created in our image and our likeness. Some look more like her, some look more like me. They are our children. I am dad to them. She's mom to them. We are created in God's likeness and his image. And he is our father. Now we understand man fell, Adam fell, didn't he? Amen. He fell. But then guess what? We were redeemed. How? Through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Let's take a look at that. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, real quick. And we're going to move on. 1 Peter chapter 1. See, the devil never wins. He never wins. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll just pick it up for the sake of time at verse 18. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's how we were redeemed. I said that's how we were redeemed. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. He indeed This is verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Hallelujah. So we can still lift our hands and say, Abba, Father. A Father, Father. He is still our Heavenly Father. Adam fell, but Jesus came and redeemed us back to God so that we can say Father again. You still here? Now, let's notice something. Jesus honored his Father, didn't he? He honored his Father. And young people, I want to say something to you. Listen to me, please. You need to honor your Father. You need to love your Father. He's probably not perfect. Matter of fact, I don't know any perfect dads, including yours truly. I don't know anybody perfect. But one thing that Jesus did, he honored his Father. If you have a dad that loves God, first, let me say something. I realize we're living in a crazy world and we're living in a mixed up world and there's perversion and all bunch of crazy stuff that's going on. And I understand that some daddies abuse their own children. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you have a dad that loves God, if you have a dad that loves God, even though he may not be perfect, but he loves God, you need to honor him. Amen. You need to honor him. I like what Jesus said. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I need to speed this up a little bit. John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, verse 19, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, and whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Let me tell you something. I want you to grab a hold of this before we move forward. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. I say what I hear my Father say. That's what children do. Isn't that right? I was watching this a long time ago. I forget the name of the show, but I was watching a television show, game type show. And the host had some kids on the show. And like I say, this was lots of years ago. And the host asked one of the kids, says, I think he asked several kids, but got to this one kid and asked him, says, you're talking about 7, 8, 9, maybe a 10-year-old. And says, what's the last thing your parents said to you before you left to come to this show? One kid spoke up and said, they told me not to cuss. Now, why would a parent have to tell their kid not to cuss? Evidently, the kid's been hearing a whole lot of cussing going on around the house. Kids are going to imitate what they see. They're going to repeat what they hear. So, Dad, you need to be real careful what you say and do around your kids. Oh, by the way, let me say this. You know what? If you're not in the habit of cursing, guess what? You ain't got to be concerned about it because you're not going to curse around your kids. If you're not in the habit of drinking alcohol and so forth in the presence, I mean, if you're not an alcoholic, if you're not a sipping saint, you ain't got to be concerned about that in the presence of your kids. No slip-ups. Think about it. It is so relieving not to have any bad habits that you got to be so careful around your kids. So fearful of slipping up. Listen, if you're doing it right all the time, you ain't got to worry about slipping up. Amen. If you get upset at your wife, rather than cussing and carrying on, start praising the Lord. Start thanking Jesus. Start blessing his name for a good wife that you have, not another one, the one you got. Amen. But Jesus says, I do and I see. I do what I see my Father do. I say what I hear my Father say. Now, we have a command. Go to Ephesians, 5th chapter of Ephesians. Y'all still with me? And this applies to mothers too, but especially dads today, since this is Dad's Day, but moms, you're here. Matter of fact, we have more women, females here today than we do men, so we're not certainly not leaving you out. So this applies to you also. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Matter of fact, put verse 1. On the screen for me. Ephesians chapter 5, very first verse. It says, therefore, be what? How? Be imitators of God as dear children. Let me tell you something. If you are going to be a good leader, you must first be a good follower. I've been saved a long time. I've been saved a long time. I experienced a lot of things. I've met a lot of people over the years. I've been a Christian a long time. Met a lot of people over the years. I met a few people that they are leaders. They are leaders in one capacity or another. But many of them are not good leaders. Matter of fact, some of the leaders don't have people skills. They don't know how to deal with people. They are rough. They are harsh. But I'll tell anybody, listen to me good. If you want to be a good leader, you must be first a good follower. You must learn first how to follow. And we are told to be imitators of God. The King James Version of that say, be followers of God as dear children. Be followers of God as dear children. Dads, let me tell you something, and moms too. We must first follow God. We must first imitate God. If I'm going to be a good dad to my children, if I'm going to be a good grandparent to my grandchildren, I must first be a good imitator of God. I must imitate God. I don't have anything within me that I can give them that is lasting, that is fruitful, but God. Hallelujah. You know, my children, you know, they, on Father's Day, they give me cards and they do things like that, and I appreciate it. I love all my children. My wife this morning gave me just an absolute wonderful Father's Day card, and I got to go back and read it some more, you know, and I'll probably read it some more tomorrow. That's tomorrow, Monday. Yeah, I'll read it Tuesday too. I read it over and over and over, because everything on that card, everything she put on that card is good. Makes me feel like a king. Amen. Actually, I got it in my office, but I'm not going to get it to read to y'all. I'm going to read it. It's a good card. But you know what? And she says some wonderful things about me. But I can't allow my head to swell. You know what? Whatever good that I am, it's because of him. Are y'all still here? To be a good husband, I must first be a good imitator of God. To be a good dad, I must first be a good imitator of God. So I have to examine my relationship with God so that I can have a good relationship with my wife, so that I can have a good relationship with my children and my grandchildren, and so I can have a good relationship with my church and my fellow believers. It's got to first come from God. It's got to flow from God and flow through me out to you. So I can't be a good dad just being passive. Well, just whatever happened. Or either make excuse. Well, mama will take care of it. No. There's some things I need to take care of, some things I need to do. I need to let what God doing on the inside of me flow out to others. My wife is doing that, and what a blessing. She's a great mom. She's a great mom. She's a great, great grandma. Let me say it this way. She's not a great grandmother. She's just a grandmother. So up to this point, anyway. But let me say it this way: she's a fantastic grandmother, and I appreciate that in her, and that's God flowing through her. But I can't live off that. I gotta let him flow through me too. You gotta let him flow through you, Dad. You got to let him flow through you, Dad. Amen. That's the reason I said earlier, we dads got to stop making excuses for being slack. We got to step up to the plate. Hallelujah. That's the reason so many young people are angry today, especially males. They're angry because Dad is absent. Dad is absent. Dad is out partying, having a good time, while mama taking care of the kids, while mama is raising the kids. And in some cases, and it's a shame, but it's the truth, in some cases, dad's out making more babies. Because dad loved making babies. Many dads don't love spending time with the babies they made. You still here? But dad loved making them. It don't take any smarts at all to make a baby. Y'all still with me? Y'all hadn't left me, have you? It don't take any smarts at all. All you have to do is follow human nature. That's built in. That's the reason you have to control it. You can't let it control you. That's the reason you have to keep your flesh under, because there's natural things that are built in, but they have to be controlled. You just can't let your body go and do everything it wants to do. Well, I heard the women say amen. What about the guys in here? Is there any men in here to say amen? So understand me. I have four children. My wife and I have four children. But you know what? I didn't have to have a college degree to get those kids. I didn't even have to go to school. But you know something? I need to have something to be a dad to those kids. Any dog can make puppies. We got to step up and be dads and be good examples. Y'all, can y'all stand me a little while longer, or are you tired of me already? We're told to imitate God. We're told to follow God. That's the King James Version. The Amplified Version, the classic, say copy God. You know what? When we were in school, you were not supposed to copy off of your neighbor's test papers, right? Amen. I'm not going to ask how many of you did, but that's none of my business. But we were not supposed to do that. And if you did, you were called a copycat. But let me tell you something. It's all right to be a copycat when it comes to the things of God. He don't mind you copying him. He don't mind it at all. When it comes to the things of God, be a copycat. Hallelujah. Now, give me just a few more minutes, and I'm going to let you go and enjoy the fine meal that your wife prepared for you. I'm saying that by faith. Amen. Praise God. Now, men, fathers, be an example that your children can follow, and not only your children, other children can follow. You know, as a pastor of this church, Becky was teasing me earlier before service out in the foyer, and some of the church members that were out there, and I won't call their names, but she looked at me grinning and said, "These are your children." and none of my biological children were out there. So I understand that I have a responsibility to be an example, not only to my biological family, but to my church family and everybody else, really, as a child of God. As a child of God. You need to get ready to be followed. Are you? Let me see your hand. Are you ready to be followed? Now, put your hands down. Are you ready to follow God? If you're ready to follow God, if you're committed to following God, you are a good candidate for someone else to follow you. Glory to God. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, remember verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. That's verse 1. And then it proceeds to talk about some things that we need to do to follow God. Now, folk don't like to hear this kind of preaching and teaching, but I have to give it to you. I'm going to give you the Word of God. Now, you take it and do with it what you want, but I'm going to give you the Word of God. It said, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And then verse 2 says, and walk in love. So if we're going to imitate God, we're going to have to walk in love. Am I right? As Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Y'all want me to stop right there or go on? Are you sure you want me to go on? Do you need to pray about it? All right, verse 3. But fornication, that's in the Bible, folks. Some folks don't preach on fornication anymore. And that's the reason that the church is in the mess that it's in. From the pulpit to the back door. In some places. But fornication and what? And what? No, just the next one three-letter word. And what? So now, there are not any exceptions. God's call us to be clean. God's call us to be imitators of him. God said, if you will follow me, I'll show you how to live for me. I'll help you live a clean life. You know, you want to know one of the first things you need to do if you're going to live a clean life for God? You want to know? Throw away all your excuses. Throw away all your excuses. Throw away all your buts. But. Throw away all your buts. But you don't know how I was raised. But. Throw them all away. Because God is not limited to our buts. All right, let me read on. But fornication and all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not even be what? Named among you as is fitting for saints. There's just some things that shouldn't be named among Christians. People that say that they follow God. People that say I love God. People that say I'm imitating God. But people look for excuses. Are y'all enjoying my preaching? You folks on the live stream, are you enjoying my preaching? It's the truth, folks. How could I tell my kids anything if I was doing any and everything? If I didn't live a clean life before them, how can I tell them to live a clean life? Do as I say and not as I do, don't work. Well, I'm glad y'all excited about this message. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, that's filthy jokes and stuff, which are not fitting. See, that's not fitting for us. That's not who we are. Well, what should we be doing then, Pastor? But rather giving of thanks. We should be lifting up the name of Jesus. We should be praising Jesus. We should be talking about the goodness of the Lord. We should be talking about how he can set you free from wherever that has you bound. But it's hard to talk about being free when we're bound too. Verse 5. This is in the Bible, folks. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. I'm getting ready to read. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Ooh-wee. One preacher said one time, go ahead and do it. God will forgive you. Mm-hmm. Premeditated fornication don't work. They'll throw you in prison for premeditated murder. There's some things that just shouldn't be named among us as believers. We're the light of the world. And us dads, we need to step up to the plate and say, I am going to be a man of God. I'm going to be an imitator of God. I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to be an example for my kids to follow. It goes on to say, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. I'll stop here at verse 8 right now. It says, for you were once darkness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You're still here. Amen. Just flip back. Flip forward to the 6th chapter. We have a responsibility to train our children. Sixth chapter of Ephesians, verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. But do what? Bring them up. How? Stop right there. Now, in the King James Version, it says nurture, but it's training. Our responsibility as dads is to not provoke our children to wrath. Now, we're to train them, not to provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Glory to God. I said glory to God. When I stand before God, when you stand before God, we're going to have to give an account to God on how we train our children. Were we mean to them? Did we abuse them? Or did we train them? Children have to be trained. Do you know you do not have to teach a child to lie? You don't have to teach a child to lie. Did you take a cookie out that jar? Mm-hmm. You sure you didn't? You sure you didn't take that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It comes naturally. They just lie to protect themselves. But guess what? Children have to be trained to tell the truth. They're properly trained. They may say, "Yes, ma'am, I took it." They may have tears running down their face because afraid they're going to get a whipping, but "Yes, I took it. I took it, mama. I took it, daddy." They have to be trained. But in order to be properly trained, you got to have a trainer. Dad, that's part of your job. It's mom's job too, but it's part of your job as well to train them. In Proverbs, and this would be my last one. I got some more here, but we'll stop right here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, well, I want to read it to you from the Passion Translation here. It says, "Dedicate your children to the Lord and point them in the way that they should go. And the values they've learned from you will be with them for life." You know, sometimes our children, even when they're raised up in Christian home and you've kept them in church, you kept them in Bible study, you kept them involved, and sometimes they still, when they get up, get some age on them, they still go out and do crazy stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I want to close saying this. Listen to me good. I don't want you to miss this. Parents, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Let me tell you something. When you plant a seed in the ground, that seed is there. You hear me? I remember as a young person, there have been a few times that I didn't make a good decision. I made a bad choice. And this was even before I got saved. But because, especially my mom, but because of some things that she had put on the inside of me, I still had a conscience. You hear me? I knew I was doing wrong. Listen to me. Some of your parents, you say, well, I did the best I could for my kid. Maybe some of your dads, you know, I was a good dad to them. I was a good father. And now, you know, you may have a child in prison or whatever the case may be, and you're still wondering, where did I go wrong? Listen, don't matter where your child is right now, if you put the Word of God in them, if you train them at home, that seed is right there. You hear me? That seed is there. Let me tell you something. There are mothers, there are grandmothers that have talked to their children, have prayed for their children, and some of them have gone with Jesus right now. And they never got a chance to see their children change. But I'm going to tell you something. That seed is there. You hear me? That seed is there. I've seen it over the years, even as a minister. Sometimes you think folks that not even don't listen to you when you're preaching, don't do anything you say. But all of a sudden, let trouble come. And that seed, they are reminded of that seed that you planted on the inside of them. And many times they'll repent or they'll get saved and come to the Lord. Many times. It's never a waste of time to train your children in the ways of the Lord. We put a lot of effort, a lot of energy in making sure that they get higher education. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what's most important is that they know the Lord and they have that seed on the inside of them. Because even if they're not living for the Lord, there's some things they just won't do. You ever seen an old sinner man, you know, just living for the devil, but even that person, there's some things they won't do? There's a reason they won't do some things, because of a conscience, their conscience, some things that's been planted on the inside of them. But now, we're living in a time now where folks are doing any and everything. Folks are going shooting up places. You listen to the news and somebody just walk up to you and knock you out with their fist just because they want to. No conscience. There's too many people out there, many of them are adults now, that haven't had the seed of God planted on inside of them, haven't had that knowledge put on the inside of them. We got people that's left this church, young people, moved away. Sometimes I don't have a Facebook account. Sometimes I'll look at Kathy's, and sometimes I'll check up on them, and I don't always like what I see in some of them that came through here. But, you know, I pray for them because I know that seed was planted in them. I don't know what they may face. I don't know what decision they may have to make. But I'm glad that seed is there. Because sometime when your back's against the wall, you need something to draw from. Are y'all following me on this? You need something to draw on. When that seed is there, and all of a sudden you remember, I remember what Mama said.
That's right.
I remember what Daddy said. And I'm going to close saying this. My dad, I love him, love him, love him, and I believe he's with the Lord now. Believe that with all my heart. He hadn't always lived for the Lord. And he was out there. He was out there. But I remember him telling me one time when he had hit that hit that patch of ice and that old 52 Mercury, old car, tough old thing, that old 52 Mercury was out of control. And I remember him saying, while that thing was spinning going down the hill, he yelled out, "Lord, have mercy." Why would he say that? Something was on the inside, had been put there. That seed was there. And he wrapped that old 52 Mercury around a big oak tree, right on his door, on the driver's side door, folded it around. No seat belt. He lived through it. All he got was a broke collarbone, a cracked collarbone, and he walked right out of it. I believe that's because the seed was there. He cried out to God. A sinner need to know that there's a God to cry out to in the time of trouble. I want to say that one more time. A sinner needs to know that there's a God to cry out to in the time of trouble. But they can't cry out to who they haven't heard, who they hadn't heard about. So continue to feed your children the things of God, fathers and mothers. Fathers, be in their lives, will you? Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for this Father's Day. Thank you for all these fathers. And I pray, Father, that I've said something that will stir them up to say, "I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better man of God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to imitate God." Dads, or anyone, you don't have to be a dad that's watching me right now and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. I want to extend this invitation to you right now to give your life to Jesus Christ. He loves you. You may say, "I listened to your message and I have been a terrible father. All my kids are gone. What can I do?" Give your life to Jesus Christ. Give your life to the Lord. And start from where you are right now. And you can pray for your kids. You may not have been a good father or a good mother to your kids. You give your life to the Lord. You can start now praying for them. And I believe God will hear your prayer and begin to deal with them. And he will forgive you for not being there for them. Boy, it's so good to know that we serve a forgiving God. He don't hold our past against us like some people do. When he forgives us, he forgets, and he begins to work with us from that moment forward. He worked with us as we work. Give my life to him right now. Forgive me for all of my sins. And I thank you for washing me clean. Thank you for making me information on the screen that you can contact us and just let us know that you gave your life to the Lord. But I want you to pray and ask God, if you don't have a home church, pray and ask the Lord to lead you to a good Bible believing Bible preaching church that you can grow in the things of the Lord. If you happen to be in this raw area, Chesterfield, Paisley, Bennisfield, Jefferson, however, you don't have a home church, you're certainly welcome to come to Word of God. We'd love to have you. God bless you. If you're sick in your body right now, I want to pray for you. Father, touch those that are sick in their bodies, Father, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Bring healing to